What commandment did he make greater than uncleanness? Love your neighbor. And so Jesus tells the story. The kid's looking for somewhere to go. And Jesus, excuse me, son. If it was a young guy, at least. Excuse me, sir. Who was the neighbor? And we all want to make the beaten up guy the neighbor. We want to make this parable about helping people who are hurting. Now that's in there. But the question is, who's the neighbor? It isn't the beaten up guy. Who's the neighbor? The lawyer doesn't even say it. He says, the one who helped him. Excuse me? The one who helped him. Then go, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Listen to me. Your worst enemy. He made the Samaritan a neighbor. Now, I'm not saying help somebody who's hurting isn't in that parable. Of course it is. The punch for a Jew is Jesus just turned the person you can't stand more than... Try this once. This isn't even nice, but try it. Think of the person that you despise, detest more than anyone else in the world. Just think with me. Think for a moment. Don't look at him. Just think. They may have done something to you that's so terrible that it shouldn't be mentioned, and I'm not washing that down in the slightest. If you or I can't walk out of here tonight and do a loving thing, even through clenched teeth to that person, we haven't understood the parable. The Samaritan is your neighbor and mine. The Samaritan is the subhuman scum of the earth. And he's the neighbor. So go love your neighbor. And the kid has to go beyond Hillel and admit. So can you love your neighbor? That's a scary parable. Now you understand why Jesus says if your righteousness isn't greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't even get into my movement. If you can't do a loving thing for your enemy, you and me, we're certainly not like Jesus. Did you see the passion? That flashback where he says to his disciples, love your enemy. And then it goes ahead to show you his... But what's he doing? He's interpreting the text. He's telling you and me how to understand Leviticus 19:18. And if you take that parable out of the text, you don't get it wrong. You're not misled. The Bible is unchangeable, and it doesn't demand culture to understand. But if you take it out of the culture, there's a nuance in it you don't see. Because it's all about the text. Does that make sense? That was radical for me. Because for the first time in my life, when I started in the Jewish setting, I embarrassed Jesus so regularly that I finally decided not to say anything. I may have even told you this story. You're a Christian. The Jewish people would say, the students, yeah. You have a book? Of course. Recite it. We'd like to hear it. I don't know any. You don't know the book? What kind of a rabbi do you have? It's about the book. And to want Jesus and to want salvation and even to want discipleship and not have the commitment in my soul to love the book and to study the book and to know the book is not walking in that man's footsteps. It's all about the book. There's one more. Oh, there's more than one, but are you convinced? Let me show you another one. This one blew my mind. I was just so embarrassed for Jesus' sake because I made him, my rabbi, look so bad. And I had not understood how little I knew of his book when I was claiming to be an educated pastor, teacher, and I walked in there and I didn't know his book. There's a Jewish way to teach. In English, you would call it the hint method. Today, Jews call it remez.